someone from Franklin Templeton was talking about the new protocol economy. I love that analogy. This is explaining how we're moving from a platform economy to a protocol economy. And that's exactly right. That's exactly how I want to explain the crypto Web3 side of what's happening right now in the market.
You're listening to the Ramblings of the Freeway, and that stands for French and Kiwi, and that's me. I'm your host, Jean-Philippe Giel. In this podcast, I document my entrepreneurship journey building Symbionic Labs. I talk about the latest tech trends, AI, blockchain, Web3, the metaverse, AR, and VR. Most importantly, I talk about data ownership and privacy. I share my opinions, the good, the bad, sometimes ugly, but I always try to remain practical. If you're ready, let's dive in.
Welcome to the Ramblings of the Freeway, and I'm here in Shenzhen in Wuchangpei. And this is one of my favorite places to come. We're just outside some of the main buildings here, the Seigi Market, and this is called Etfu Mart. And what we're doing is just looking around, curious to see the new technology innovations and things that are happening. It's a good place to scout for. So I've got a day, and now I thought I can with my son as a translator and just walking around and having a look at what's out there and what's new. The Seigi Market, we actually got told not to film in there, so we had a bit of footage. I don't know if I can insert that anywhere, but we had to wrap up and got told to turn off, which is funny because there's a lot of YouTube videos showing you the inside of that building, so I guess maybe they got tired of foreigners coming to film. And yeah, but it's a great building, the Seigi Market, if you've never been in there. You can find all down to the minutest, smallest components there for PCB mounting and things like that. So I always like to scout around that market and have a look at what they've got. Could be cool for some of the projects and things like that, so at least to know what is out there. Yep, so this is it. This is Shenzhen, and we're just going to carry on looking around some cool stuff.
Welcome to the Ramblings of the Freeway. And, well, we are in 2024, so this is it. This is the year where everything happens. I think last time I did a wrap-up end of December or something like that, not to date the podcast, but I was looking at a very, very active 2023 year. Now I can say safely that 2024 is going to be a lot worse. And it started pretty strongly. So I'm quite pleased with what we've been able to achieve in January. In the midst of like a mix of holiday and sort of work, my wife being Chinese, we were off to Hainan, an island in the southeast of China. And that's strictly across from Vietnam almost. And so I took advantage of that to jump over to Vietnam. What an amazing place. I mean, the Vietnamese people are really, really, really a nice people and very, very hungry for business. And they're all about hardware manufacturing. And I found some really, really good people for our firmware and hardware prototyping. I was out there scouting people that I found online and that I wanted to check out to see, you know, what they were like. So that was a very positive experience. I spent 2 days in Ho Chi Minh City and 2 days in Hanoi. Now I can probably show you some of the footage of the things that have been done there. A lot of SMT lines and, you know, factory visits, some small setup. We visited some, just one SMT lines. Obviously, some SMT lines that are quite dated. I remember seeing those very same machines back in Shenzhen in another life when I was down there auditing some factories because I've been in the electronic manufacturing space for a while. So I saw those very same line in Shenzhen a few years back. And now it appears they've moved to Vietnam. Vietnam is being touted at the 1/3 of the cost of China is what I've been told. Still need to verify that, but quite an interesting, you know, fact that all these lines have moved down to Vietnam now. But to be honest, for, and it may not be top of the line, but for the type of work that we want to do, we are not looking to have necessarily some of the latest machines. So, you know, we want to We want a sort of small to mid-size prototyping shop that can help us validate a few ideas that we've got and produce a small amount of working prototypes so we can test and potentially maybe go to our first few sort of pilot clients where we test that are in our services and get things ready for a more sort of industrial setup. So I thought from my research that Vietnam was an extremely good candidate. And as always, you do a bit of desk research, and then I personally like to go and see on site what it looks like. So I was pleasantly surprised. I found the teams very knowledgeable, the talent there quite good. I'm talking firmware talent and sort of engineer level. And so, yeah, I've got now a small core of people that I think I'm confident are going to be able to produce our prototypes. I'm just hanging on. I haven't pressed the green button yet. I will shortly. I'm just getting all the proposals lined up and sort of, you know, it's about cash flow management at our stage now. Also, I've got a few things that I want to do early this year. So we're looking down the barrel of the gun, wanting to start raising money probably around April. And so what I want to be in a position is to do is have a complete set clear plan and some timelines confirmed, some budgets confirmed, so I can confidently go to an investor and say, yes, we've got the plan, we know how much it's going to cost, we know how long it's going to take, we've done the homework, we just need the funds to press the button. And with reason, if some of the early stage spend is still within small amounts, I can self-fund a bit of that myself. So we're not desperate. We're not in a desperate stage. I've been very nimble end of last year. We've got our app where I want it to be. So we've gone into economy mode just before Christmas. And we're busy this month just putting the product in the hands of potential customers. We've recorded a modern dance teacher. And so, yeah, that's the gist of this trip. It was really, really good to be able to site directly those factories in Vietnam. I have seen some bigger shops as well, very attentive to the fact that I think they weren't at capacity. While the market has restarted, it still looks like there is production capacity in Vietnam at their level. This company that we visited, that you're seeing now on your screen, has a slightly better set of machinery, a little bit more recent. The Fujitsu ones are, the Fujitsu SMTs are quite good. And so, yeah, they would be potentially a good candidate for an initial sort of production run. And they've got quite a good space for spare parts, good logistics, again, good engineers for quality control, all the things you need. So I was pretty pleased with my visit there. You got to think, you know, I have quite a few contacts in China, but with the current restrictions around, you know, technology from the US being assembled in China and things like Google TPUs and all of that, we just unfortunately look at, you know, assembly in China at this stage. It just doesn't make sense. And anyway, I mean, price-wise, China's no longer as competitive as it used to be. So it's probably a good call to think about doing it in Southeast Asia. And so, yeah, Vietnam. That was a good candidate. I did a bit of research as well with Malaysia, Indonesia, which I've got some good people there in Indonesia for electronics. But Vietnam comes across as, in my mind at least, as the winning candidate there. What else did I do? I took advantage of the time that I was also in Shenzhen to go to Huachangpei. Huachangpei is this magical place, this Alibaba cave for gadgets and electronic devices. Unfortunately, we couldn't shoot as much as we wanted it in Huachangpei because we got kicked out. Not kicked out, but probably we looked too serious. I had my son with me and carrying the GoPro on a stick, and I had this Osmo 6 sort of selfie stick with my iPhone. And so both of us were like walking around and shooting, you know, all these little boutiques and things inside this big mall place. That's Huachangpei, has all these levels of electronic gadgets all the way down to the tiniest parts of componentry. You know, you can buy pretty much any components for SMT lines there. It's really an Alibaba cave of gadgets and technology. So quite an amazing place, Huachangpei. and we were walking around with our selfie stick, and a couple of guys were like, no, you can't film, you gotta go. So that was a shame, because I thought I'll be doing some of this podcast directly while I was there in Huachongpei. That had to be turned off quickly. I don't know why they did that. I mean, there is so many podcasts and stuff on YouTube about Huachongpei. If you are not familiar with the place, by all means, go on YouTube, type Huachongpei, and look at all these, you know, Chinese market, gadget, tech in Shenzhen. It's just, just a magical place. I love hanging around in there. So yeah, I did a bit of that and I really enjoyed, although I can't show you too much footage of it. And then of course, being in China for Lunar New Year, we enjoyed, that was the first time in my life, we enjoyed the lunar celebrations with my wife's family. So we were in the little island of Hainan. It's basically an overdose of firecrackers and fireworks for a good 2 days, and a lot of rituals, a lot of things, you know, taking care of your ancestor line and all that stuff. So what an amazing time, I have to say, after all these COVID years where we couldn't travel. From a personal point of view, a bit of rejuvenating, resourcing myself, having time to step back a little bit and think about the orientations and the business and how to approach a fundraise stage and how to continue bootstrapping as much as I can. You know, thoughts around, you know, this is where we got to. We've got this sort of, I would say, between a POC and an MVP of our app. We still don't have our hardware, but we've got a plan for it. And we've got this bigger picture where we want to go to, which is more about how we beat the sick care economy, how we create a new economic model. I like to borrow some of the sentences I've heard in one of the Bankless podcasts, where someone from Franklin Templeton was talking about the new protocol economy. I love that analogy. This is explaining how we're moving from a platform economy to a protocol economy. And that's exactly right. That's exactly how I want to explain the crypto Web3 side of what's happening right now in the market. How we're moving from a platform economy, you know, the big Uber, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the big platforms. Moving from a platform economy to a protocol economy, where we've got this sort of distributed economy with tokenization, real world assets, how health can be an asset. You know, your health is by all means an asset for sure. But how do we influence behaviors? How do we help people take control of their own health? How do we help them be custodian of their data? How do we help them monetize that data at their own will? And really be in control of the, you know, from a privacy perspective. You know, too many platforms out there, very siloed, are all about mining the data, and users don't really see any of it. You know, they're just getting data mined, and they get some benefit of some dashboard. I call it death by dashboard. You know, you're staring at all these metrics for quantified self stuff, and you just don't know what to do with it. It's not coming together as a tool that advises you and gives you personalized insights about what you should be doing practically with your own case, not just blanket advice that works for supposedly everybody but doesn't. So yeah, I think the protocol economy is the right word for it. Now we're, you know, our backend platform is what we want to build in sort of open source Linux model. We think that while we build for ourselves, we can definitely make that stack available for other builders to do AI ML compute, to do a social engagement layer, to be able to share and connect and do all of that with the network. And so there is also the ability to store the data privately and, you know, being able to encrypt it and manage it within, have the keys within your wallet so people have control of it, the whole Web3 stuff. So that stack of protocol is what we want to put together out for other builders. And yeah, that's how you create a protocol economy. You know, being able to have a tokenization probably at some stage where you can say, here is the health token, Symbio token, maybe we would call it, or something like that. And that's some ideas that I had, where that token would be used to, you know, buy new gear, learn, buy new lessons, but you would also, for if you're a content creator, you would get paid in that token, and then you would be able to either convert it back in fiat money or use it again to do more things. So the value of what you were, what you would be building would increase in the ecosystem. It's like, you know, a cooperative model sort of thing. And that's why we are thinking of governance models like DAOs to be a good match for the administration and the maintenance of this backend network. Because at the end of the day, you need the infrastructure to be operating this. So that's our thoughts anyway. So I really enjoyed that analogy of the shift between platform model and tokenized sort of new protocol economy. And I think that really resonated with me. And yeah, that's it in a nutshell, really. So now I'm here enjoying the end of New Zealand summer and looking at how we're going to go to the next step and start attending more conferences, more events, more things like that. And yeah, I'm flying away on Sunday, so everything feels like everything is last minute again. I'm running like a mad person trying to finish the things that I want to do for that trip. But flying away on Sunday to San Francisco, spending 2 or 3 days in Silicon Valley, very important. I am going to try the Apple Vision Pro. I've booked my appointment at Apple Visitor Center. So I'm trying to get it to speed. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the feedback. I've redone this pitch deck like a million times already. And I've been accused of starting to widen, and, you know, because we talk about how we're going to solve the global health crisis. And it's a fair point. And I understand it's like saying you were going to solve world hunger or poverty. That's just not going to happen. So nobody believes you there. And even though the purpose is really to make a difference in that problem, that is not how I should present it. So I'm reworking this out and presenting it more about, you know, how we create a new protocol economy for, you know, changing behaviors around prevention, health prevention, helping people, you know, develop preventative behaviors with their health, take control of their health, be more active, learn more about health, find access to professionals, and how we can use AR, VR, sort of 3D visualizations to educate people and help them learn more about their health, and how we bring all the data together about their health so that we can give personalized insights. And we create an environment, an ecosystem for that to be scalable and repeat itself. So I think that's the right way to present it. I just have to nail it in one of those, you know, 5 to 10 slides, you know, 3 minute pitch, 5 minute pitch, 10 minute pitch, which is the three kind of formats you need to have. 3 minute pitch is just brutal, absolutely brutal. I'm not a 3 minute person. So it's a big effort for me to work on conciseness and synthetic, but that's the name of the game. So very, very interesting. Good to have that the feedback from a friendly VC. And yeah, then I'm off to Silicon Valley. I'm off to LA for the IHRSA. It's a big sort of conference with where all the fitness club industry meets, where all the equipment manufacturers gather up. And it talks about the future of health and wellness and how we get people moving and how we grow this industry. So I'm also catching up with a few potential clients there. This is in my mind, potentially finding a small number of development clients, which we could work with to really perfect our product. I think I'm a real big believer of working with clients to actually develop the right visualization tools, the right UI, the right user experience. So that, and then, potential angel investors as well, who are, you know, working in that space and are looking for new innovative ways and new ideas. So we're that, we're the new digital health and fitness, you know, economy. So I'm hoping I can network and meet the right people in that space. And then moving onwards from, so that's LA, moving onwards to Austin, back to South by Southwest. That's 8 to 16 of March. Did it last year. Loved it, absolutely. This time I'm back with the Level Up Founders Group, who I belong to. Linda Jenkinson runs that. And they've taken an Airbnb house there. So a big saving on the accommodation bill. I'll be bunking with all sorts of founders tech founders in that space. It'll be good to network. And then also loads of VCs, loads of investors, lots of this big health track, some very interesting speakers. So loads to learn, lots of people to meet, make new friends, and potentially, who knows, meet people who are going to help us get to the next stage. So a lot more ready than last year. Last year was really about scouting and understanding the space and then discovering a little bit how these things run. I feel a lot more prepared. First of all, we have a demo, so that's a massive advancement. I'm better on the pitch deck side, and I'm confident that I'll nail that. My elevator pitch is way better. I spent a year talking about what we're doing, so now it's kind of well-oiled. I think I will just improve that, and then this should set me on the ramp to go straight to Dubai in April, where I'm looking to attend Token 2049 and start raising money. So bluntly saying, that's where we go, talk, talk, talk. There we go. Let's line up proposals, and I can start working on the list of target investors that I'm looking at that I think are the right fit for us, and then start approaching them, you know, cold, warm, all the contacts that I've accumulated from this time and these conferences, and then some new ones who are potentially related on it. So it's going to be an amazing first quarter, and I'm really looking forward to getting in the thick of things, but at the same time, equally overwhelming and mind-boggling to go on traveling again. I'm a little over that, to be fair. I miss time with my family, but hey, no rest for the wicked. I have chosen this life. I've chosen this project. I am 1,000,000% committed. There is no plan B, or if there is, it's just another way to do A, or another way to do C, and C is another way to do B. That's probably what I should say. So yeah, fully onto that. So yes, looking forward to getting out there and doing all these trips. So it'll be amazing. So that's it for me. Thank you for watching again. I really appreciate people following me on this channel. It's sometimes not as structured as it should be. I, again, will endeavor to improve that a little bit, but Ramblings is the podcast where I ramble, literally, follow my brain thoughts and talk to you about my entrepreneurship journey and where I'm at. So this is the exciting bit. For something more structured, look at the other one, the Quantified Self podcast. That's where I interview people and talk more with the industry partners, and I'm also going to record one potentially at IHRSA, so stand by for that. There'll be something new coming up. I'm looking down to episode 3, but yeah, for this rambling, this is it, and this is me. Thank you again from beautiful sunny New Zealand. I hope to see you again soon. Bye.
If you want to find out more, just go to symbionic.com. That's symbionic with an I and a Q at the end. There you'll find all the socials and the different ways you can follow us. In the meanwhile, I would really appreciate if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a review. If you find this interesting, don't hesitate to share it with a colleague or a friend. That always helps spread the word. And that's all for me today. So see you in the next episode.